Pause. Am I missing something?
You are. Because you cannot see me, but my hair is, I'm almost pulled. I straight up look like Sinead O'Connor. It is.
So what happened?
So, in my life, I have cut my own hair 3 times. Mm-hmm. Thrice. The first time I cut it was many years ago, and we were short on cash. I really wanted Melissa to cut my hair. She was super busy at work, so it was her birthday. So I just kind of cut it myself to kind of be like, hey, now you don't have to worry about this thing. I did okay on the front, fucked up the back. She had to trim up the back a little bit. I mean, let's face it, back's going to be the hardest part, right? She had to touch it up a little bit. Overall, not too bad. Second time I did it, same thing. Just got sick of waiting, decided to go out, cut it myself. Had Stella kind of help me with the back, but overall, I did it. And it actually came out to the point where Melissa did not have to touch it. So on Friday, I got home from a bunch of driving around, it was decently warm at that time because Friday was a weird day for weather. A whole different side rant. But it was actually warm out at the time that I started, about 1 o'clock. So I was like, I'm just going to cut my hair because it's super long. I can't take it anymore. Got to get it done. Went outside, started cutting it. An hour and a half later, it had gotten away from me. It just, one side would be too short, so I'd cut the other side, and then it kept getting shorter, and then it was patchy, and then I couldn't do it. Plus, the temperature dropped like 15 degrees while I was cutting it, so it was freezing, so my hands were shaking, so it was just, I've never done it so bad. I just butchered it. And what's even worse is, like, I worked on it for like an hour outside, and then I was like, it's good enough, I'm gonna go inside, take a shower, went inside, looked in the mirror, this is too bad, started to try to touch it up again, ended up making it even worse after that. 90 minutes of just butchering my own hair. Finally, I just sent a picture to my wife, and I was like, I have made a terrible mistake. This has gotten away from me. Should I just shave it? And I got a text back that just said, oh my God, stop. Just wait till I get home. I'll see what I could do. So I wore a hat even for my kid coming home, because I was just so ashamed of it. And she got home. She at least touched it up, because it was fucking abysmal. But yeah, and then it's terrible. You're gonna see it if you watch this back. It's not a good haircut. It's not a good haircut at all. And I did it to myself. I have no one to blame but me. So there you go.
Well, at least you can avoid and delay the inevitable reveal of the hair.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time, because I had gaming that night too in my gaming garage, and they are, while they're all nice people, they are hardcore razzers.
Oh.
So, like, I was like, I don't want to go there with this hair. I wore my hat the entire time. Never took it off. If they notice, I give them props, because there was a couple of times where I, like, scratched my head, so they could have noticed. If they noticed, I'll give them props. They didn't come at me about it. But, yeah, it was terrible. So I wore my hat the whole day. And now I've just gotten sick of wearing it. I don't want to wear my hat while I'm on a podcast, so literally the entire world's going to see this terrible haircut. So it is what it is.
Well, at least you only have to deal with it for a couple months.
This is true. This is true.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good, it's not great, horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair, it's really not that good. Horrible gaming podcast.
Hello, my name is Zachariah with Old Man Gaming. You, dear listener, have chosen for whatever reason to listen to another horrible gaming podcast. I am not alone. Usually I am never alone. With me is
Neil, a.k.a. Tiny Wizard.
And we got a podcast for you guys today. Is it good? Probably not. But it's a podcast.
Does it exist? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Is it an actual thing? Yes. Yes, it is. For better or for worse. But before we get into it, we got to thank the people who have made this podcast possible. First, we have to thank Behind Our Ugly Mugs. You're seeing a fancy graphic that was provided by Mr. Mark Bell. And, of course, the theme song for this show and all shows here at Old Man Gaming is provided by the man who makes music, my brother Nick Van Sider. We thank him for that. We thank everybody for my terrible Sinead O'Connor haircut. We can thank me, myself, and I. We'll be right back with Fans Reaction.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our first segment, our most important segment, that is Fan Interaction. That's where we, the co-hosts, talk to you guys, the fans. We read out your comments. We talk about your stuff. Maybe it's on Discord. Maybe it's here. Either way, yeah, that's what we do. We don't have a huge audience, so this is the one thing we can provide you. So we'll get right into it. Right off the bat, William Holwyn, hi, exclamation point, OMG Zach, you're doing your holidays comeback podcast. And you're not sick? Praise the Lord. Oh, really? Didn't know about the IGN scoring now. The yawn was a reference to Neil's yawn at the start of the show. I didn't even catch that one. Neil, you son of a bitch. Neil, of course you can't react to Tetris fast enough. You're 35. Thanks for the show. Hashtag... Where's the chair? Oh, no. I can tell you where the chair is. I cannot fully get rid of the chair. So the chair has been donated to my garage in which I play my garage game. It is not at my house. It is somebody else's house. But the chairs that he had that I was using sucked. And so I took Old Creaky there. What's funny is the biggest lover of Old Creaky on this channel is the guy who runs the garage game. So he was happy to welcome Old Creaky into his Hall of Fame of old stinky chairs. So that's where Old Creaky has gone.
Stinky chairs.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I'm loving this new gaming chair. I can fully recline in it and not feel like it's going to break. It's just what I'm doing right now. Neil can't see it. It's amazing. I can just sit here and do my best thinking. continuing. Jason, of course, jumps right in. With a plethora, a barrage of comments, some good, some bad. Let's get into them. Part of the cyberpunk genre is the government's powerlessness compared to the corporations. We're in a cyberpunk dystopian story without the cool shit. Jason, there are plenty of things we're not going to agree on. Okay, this is one we agree on. We are definitely in cyberpunk dystopia, and we don't have any of the cool shit. Although, in fairness, the cool shit in cyberpunk, is it really that cool? Really that cool? Like, I'm not gonna lie, I don't care how cool the cybernetic arm is. I don't want you to cut my arm off and put a robot arm there. I'm good. I'll be alright. I don't need the gun coming out of the arm or the built-in stun gun. I'll take my normal flesh arm. Thank you.
Well, much like... be it in the real world or in the cyberpunk dystopia, it's only fun if you have money.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Amen to that. Okay, so next up. I want an agent, parentheses, anti-Venom game. Flash Thompson is cooler than Eddie Brock. I'm going to say this. I don't know if Flash Thompson's cooler than Eddie Brock. I am an Eddie Brock fan, but I fucking love Flash Thompson as Venom. He is one of the most underrated Venoms, so you have me there, Jason. I'm going to agree with you on that. He would, and he'd make a cool ass video game, straight up. Nothing to add, Neil?
No.
Neil is very quiet and staring down the camera. I'm afraid something's bothering Neil, and I haven't asked him yet.
No. I am a little tired because I don't know why we're covering this here right now, but I went and I had some time off this week here. So one thing that I did today was something I've been wanting to do for a while.
Oh.
By buying a ton of food ahead of time.
Okay.
Pre-cooking multiple meals. Ooh. And vacuum sealing them. Ooh. And putting them in the chest freezer. So that way,
nice.
If there's ever like a long day or whatever, and I don't want to deal with something to make food, I just drop the bag in the pot of boiling water and it's done.
And you're good to go. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. I've been doing it since 11 and I didn't finish until 5:30.
I get it.
So definitely not.
It's a lot of cooking.
Yeah, it was a lot of cooking.
As the primary cook currently in our house, that would be a lot of cooking. I would not want to do that much cooking. I will say chest freezers, right? Awesome fucking things. Chest freezers. So, continuing with Jason. I live in an ancient house. I get good enough bugs just in the course of my life. I don't need dead bugs purposefully put in my stuff. Get the GTFOH. Love it. Agree completely. We don't need that. We get earwigs in my house right now. It is a yearly battle with them. They are the most horrendous bug in my just for me. I don't know. It just triggers something in me. So I feel your pain. I feel your pain.
I can deal with an earwig to some degree, but the one that's always gotten me is fucking house centipedes.
Oh, really?
The like silverfish or whatever.
Yeah,
the hell
they
called.
Give you those creepy crawlies, man. They do.
Oh yeah, and they're fast as hell.
Yeah. I don't necessarily mind those as much as earwigs for some reason. It's just some about earwigs that just absolutely made my flesh crawl. I have no idea why.
The pincher butt.
I think it might be that, and the fact that they're named earwigs because they crawl in the ears. That's not fun. That's not fun at all. I don't want that.
Nobody wants it. Nobody needs.
Nobody wants that. Then Jason, the BG3 save thing is a micro. Okay, I'm glad he's saying this because I wanted to bring this up. The BG3 save thing is a Microsoft Xbox Cloud issue. Larian has been on it as best they can. Other games have been affected too. Just haven't been as prevalent in the public zeitgeist. I've heard people having issue in Starfield, Forza, War Tales, Lamplighters League, Cyberpunk 2077, Alan Wake 2, Resident Evil 4 Remake. So yeah, Jason, I did not realize this. I talked to you, about that whole thing. I think the day after we recorded this, the last podcast, but, the whole save thing, the save deletion thing is not a Larian thing. It's a Microsoft thing. And I do want to say, according to Microsoft, and I don't know if it was successful or not, supposedly they have uploaded an update to their OS that should fix or resolve that problem. Time will tell if it does, but yeah, that is not a Larian issue. I misspoke on our last episode, but again, guys, horrible podcast for a reason. We don't always have all the information. I'm never going to lie to you, but I will tell you the wrong thing if I don't know the right thing. But
very technically distinct.
It's very technically distinct. I'm never going to purposefully lie to you, but there's going to be plenty of times where I talk thinking I know something and don't. I mean, that's average American
is
stuff.
Is that
right
not
there.
Just, I was going to say, is yeah. that not just adulthood?
That's the dream. That's the American dream. Saying shit that you don't know, like you mean it, like you know. That's what the dream is. That's living the dream. That's having a YouTube channel, everybody. I'm just kidding around. Anybody and everybody, I misspoke last week. It was a Microsoft issue. Personally, I love that it's a Microsoft issue because anything good for Larian makes me happy, and anything bad for Microsoft makes me happy. You know what I mean? Like right now, just because of my leanings. Larian good, Microsoft bad in my head. So that makes more sense to me. My world kind of adds up a little bit better. So that's it for the comments, unless you got anything to add, co-host?
No, that'll be it.
All right, so today we're going to have fun with the year forthcoming stuff again. We decided to do a new one. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to take the four major companies, and by four major, we're talking Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, and then Valve. And we are going to, for each company, basically, each one of us is going to say this is a do and this is a don't. We're going to say what we think they should do in the year of 2024. Something that's technically possible for them to accomplish in 2024. Something that we think will help them. And we're going to say a don't. Something they absolutely need to avoid doing in 2024. I think this will be fun. And we don't have to sticky note this, but I think this will be fun to see what happens in the coming year. Yeah, and we're going to be right back with that in a second.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our talking point, which some miscommunication happened, and we may or may not be woefully unprepared for it, but we're going to start it. What company do you think we should start on? If you had to pick.
Let's go Microsoft.
That's probably the good one to start with. All right, well, I'll start us off on what I think the do's, the do and don't should be. So it's just one. It's just one do and one don't. I'm going to start us off positive. I think their do needs to be cool it. Chill the fuck out this year. Don't buy anybody. Just be soft. Go easy. I don't necessarily think this is something they're going to do, but I feel like with the Activision acquisition, and again, guys, don't like any of this. I'm speaking completely and totally objectively here. With the successful Activision acquisition, they have proven their supremacy in a lot of ways, and I think that they are eventually going to get what they want, which is Game Pass on all platforms, especially now that they own almost all the exclusives. You can also see that now they're already kind of starting to cool it, because there's a lot of words circulating on Sea of Thieves maybe making the jump to Sony as well. There's a couple other exclusives that they're thinking are going to make a jump to either Sony or Nintendo. And I think what's happening here is now that Microsoft has won, Sony is like, okay, they've won. How do we make this work so that we don't get killed? And so with that said, I think Microsoft just needs to sip the tea at this point. They just need to sit back. They need to sip the tea and not stir the pot any more than they already have. They have to live down the emails. They have to live down the acquisition. They have to live down all that bad press and progress forward in their plans. I think to do that, they need to take a year of just building their repertoire, building their exclusives, and stay on point with that. Now, do you want me to do my don't, or do you want to do your do now?
Let's trade off here. So, like, okay. my do for Microsoft this year is definitely got to be output. It's got to be output. It's got to be good. I mean, Microsoft's already developed this reputation of being a company that, you know, at least on the Xbox side of things, has not been putting anything out, and the stuff they have been putting out is all subpar. They haven't really had anything that stands to, like, what Sony has put out with, like, Spider-Man and stuff like that. They don't have their golden, like, look at this, and everything that they try to do winds up not turning out how they want slash need it to, Starfield, Redfall, continuing onward, you know. And now that they've bought Activision, it's been one of those things to where, well, they're turning almost like into a Valve to where they don't have to put anything out. I mean, they're going to keep doing it at this point. But I feel like the weight is not as much behind that as it is with just doling out the stuff that they got from the Activision Blizzard deal. I feel like they really need some first party, and they need some good first party stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's been rumors of like Gears 6 this year. They need something like that. They really need like a mainline tentpole Microsoft game, first party something or other, to really kind of get themselves back on track. Because we even had the conversation last year. Like, Redfall came out. Redfall was supposed to be this big thing. It didn't. And then all eyes turned to Starfield. Starfield was supposed to be that saving grace thing that is supposed to put Microsoft, you know, back in the race, so to speak. And it didn't happen.
Baldur's Gate 3 ate it up and pooped it out.
Yeah.
We didn't really do any rebuttals, but I do want to comment on yours. Part of me completely agrees with you. I think that they definitely need to buckle down and focus on some of their quality instead of, like, their financial moves, you know? I think they've been so concerned with acquisitions and purchases, they haven't really thought about like how good the games have to be. However, I do want to point out that with the amount that they own right now, I don't necessarily know that they have to be that good. The games come from them. They flow from them. They come from them. They have Game Pass. I don't necessarily know that their exclusives have to be that good or even exclusives. However, I would really like them to start focusing on their quality. I do think that's a good do, especially since, you know, there's also rumor that we're going to see Fable this year, which I don't think is going to happen for another two. But still, like, that needs to be good.
It's going
to
come out in 2022.
Yeah, that needs to be good when that comes out. There's a couple other ones that, like, they need to be good when they come out. So I'll agree with that. Did you have any rebuttals on mine, or should we move to don'ts for them?
No, I really don't. I really don't think so. Because, yeah, the cooling it of them doing, like, they need to cool it in all aspects, chill out like this next year. I mean, granted, it kind of goes to the antithesis of what I just got done saying to some degree. But,
well,
it's more so the endless running of the news cycle and headlines from court cases to games coming out in a certain way, announcing acquisitions, finalizing acquisitions. You know, they've been making a lot of news lately in the past few months, but it hasn't necessarily been anything like great. And it's not necessarily so much a rebuttal of more so an agreement, but I would expand it on not just like, you know, the acquisitions and stuff, but literally all aspects of their business.
I think that one thing that I will say that personally irks me about Microsoft, other than all the extra shit, is that it seems like they buy a company and then that company's games get bad. Like, if you look at all of the companies that have been purchased by them, you know, every game that's come out from those companies has been lackluster, not so great, you know, and these are all like quality companies that made good games before, but now they're not making them because Microsoft owns them. And it's hard to be like, well, that's not Microsoft's fault. I mean, at first it was easy to do that, but now, like, even Call of Duty, they went out of their way to buy Activision. And in fairness, I think Call of Duty was already on a spiral before that happened, but this is its worst performing year, and it just got purchased by Microsoft. They need to, like, shake that curse.
They do.
Without a doubt. So don't for me, for Microsoft. Don't buy anything else. Stop buying stuff. I know that kind of goes with the do, but right now, look, I don't think the FTC is ever going to stop you. I think we have seen evidence of that with Activision. If they were going to stop you, they would have stopped you. It's that simple. Like, they didn't. Nobody did. You now own Activision. Every other company is small in comparison for purchase. With that said, you still garnered a lot of bad press from that. You still had to fight it in court, which allowed a lot of emails to come out that did not flatter you, did not look good. And your, just like you said, your game quality continues to descend while this goes on. So I think we have to put ourselves in a position where you need to not buy stuff, because you're not, whether or not you'd win the fight, is the fight worth it to own Ubisoft? No, it's not. I think you need to stop purchasing. You need to focus on, you have enough now to leverage other companies to do what you want anyway. So don't purchase any more things and put yourself in that limelight more.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting because your don't, like, rolled into your do and my do at the same time.
Yeah, it did.
And that's the thing, is like, I feel like that almost speaks to kind of how we've viewed Microsoft as this past year and a half, 2 years has transpired, with like reaction and confusion, because it's just constantly things like happening, like the dust needs to settle a little bit. I will say, though, my don't is something that's going to be inevitable. And that's, we're supposed to get the Series X hardware revision this year. What was it? It's called like Manhattan or something.
Yeah, Boston, something like that.
Is the name of the city. And my don't is twofold with it. But it's an exercise in futility from both fronts. The first one is, please just don't do it. Just don't do it. I mean, we're just about halfway through these consoles' life cycles, effectively. We're approaching the halfway point, at least. And they've just now become available, and now we want to talk about getting a new one. I mean, Sony did it with the PlayStation 5 slimmed down version with the detachable disc drive. You know, they did it. The Series S refresh, you know. Mm-hmm. Which I don't think is technically still out yet, or if it is, it's gone
with
very little fanfare.
Yeah.
That and just my own personal, don't make it digital only. I know it's on the horizon, but I just don't feel like a console refresh is the time to go digital only. When people are already established within this, it's a pill that I'm going to have to swallow at some point. And I know that's a fact.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do that when the disc option is still there. When you come out with the next full true generation of consoles in anywhere from, let's call it 3 to 5 years at this point, go ahead and make it discless. Not now in the middle of this generation, when I'm still purchasing discs on the regular.
I will back you. I am a digital only guy because I'm on PC now. I don't even have a place to put a disc. But here's the thing. You can't switch to discless when you have people who have already invested in that medium with discs. How would you play your disc games on the discless system if you refreshed? You wouldn't, which is why you need a full model for that, because people have already invested in one way or another in this generation in the way that they've invested. People who have invested all digitally, they'd be fine, but there are plenty of people out there, yourself included, who have invested in discs for this system. They're going to be much more okay with going all digital on a full refresh when it was going to happen anyway. Then, this system refresh can't play your discs anymore. That's kind of... I mean, I don't think there has ever been a system that has been marked a way that would not allow the discs that were marked the same way to play. You know what I mean? This would be like the Xbox 360, a version of the Xbox 360 not playing Xbox 360 games. A version of the games. You can't do that, you know?
So... funny enough, Nintendo actually did that with the 3DS. Huh. There's the 3DS and the new 3DS. There were some games that could only be played on the new 3DS, even though it was a hardware refresh. The internals were updated in such a way. I believe there was a Fire Emblem game and a Mario game. I can't recall off the top of my head exactly. Maybe it was a Yoshi game.
That's madness.
It was.
Knowledge on that.
It was a mid-generational refresh, but there were specific games that could not be played on the previous 3DS. It had to be the, quote, new 3DS.
Absolute madness. I don't think that's the right move. I think that you're right. I don't think that they should go digital. As far as not releasing the hardware update, I'm completely with you again. Funny enough, we're going to get into that in a later one. But I think these systems were nearly impossible to get because they all released during COVID when there were no chips, so they were making like two of them at a time. And like... it's finally to a point where you can go to a store and buy one if you want one. This has just happened. And now you want to replace those? That's cutting your own legs off, you know? Like, just extend the generation a little bit further, you know, make it a couple more years, you know. I don't understand the rush, and this goes back to what I say all the time about gaming, which is it's all about coulda, not shoulda. And it's like, oh, well, we've got a revision, we've got to sell it, you know, and I think that that's one of the big problems with that one.
Yes.
So that's it for Microsoft. Where are we going next?
Let's hit up Sony, just because those are the two that are so closely intertwined.
Let's do Sony. Do you want me to start or you want to start?
Yeah, go ahead and start.
Go ahead and start. Sony, do. This one's tough, and I've been thinking about this one all day, because they're in a really rough spot, in my opinion. So I'm going to say do needs to be take a step back, look at your practices so far, realize they're not working, change your patterns. In my opinion, Sony is doing everything wrong. And I want to make this very clear. Again, I am speaking objectively. I don't want Microsoft to win the console war. I don't want anyone to win the console war. I want every console to exist and everybody who wants to play those consoles to be happy. That being said, you know, Microsoft is coming at this with a lot of money, but they're also coming at it from a point of view of how they produce content, how they put those games and that content in people's hands, and they're kind of reinventing it. And this is allowing them to stay relevant outside of the fact that they're making not so great games. Sony is sitting at the end of the corner, basically saying, these are my toys, I'm just going to play with these. And it's just not working for them anymore. It does not matter how good your God of War is. It does not matter how good your Horizon Zero Dawn is. It is not good enough. You do not have enough of those games to sustain an entire system. And right now you're losing 30 third-party developers. You're losing third-party potential to a spending giant that is Game Pass. But let's face it. As hard as it would be to beat Game Pass, their mindset is way backwards and way old school, and that's hurting them. They have routinely kind of not done the right thing with Game Pass. They have routinely not done the right thing with customer service, with trophies. We're constantly talking about the new stupid thing that Sony is doing in this current world. I feel like the leadership at Sony needs to take a breath and look at how games impact the consumers on a daily basis right now, because what they're doing is not working.
So I'm actually going to go ahead and have my do kind of expound a little bit upon what you were just saying.
There are no rules here, Neil. You know that.
So, yeah, I'll agree with a lot of that there. And I will further on that. Jim Ryan is, I believe he's set to step down next month, if I remember correctly. This is a perfect time for some fresh ideas, some fresh blood. I think that Sony knows, and a lot of people know what Sony does good. First party, story driven, you know, stuff like that. But the problem that I think I've noticed is there was even a news story that came out about this a little while ago about how Sony has really just completely out of left field started to hard pivot towards always online live service models for their games. And I feel like that is strictly from like a financial standpoint. There's no creative process. Nobody has sit down at the table and been like, I would like to create a game that is centered around this.
Right.
It's just, hey, you know that thing that you like? Hey, you know The Last of Us? Multiplayer, online survival. Sure, why not? What else can we do this? What else can we do this with?
Yep.
They've been reactionary to trends that are outside of their wheelhouse. And I think having some fresh ideas, some new blood in there, can help to turn that around. Now, of course, you know, they get a new leader in charge over at Sony. It's not going to change overnight. it's gonna take some time, but I feel like a step back and some reflection would do them good. Now, this is one thing that I know that you and I differ quite a bit on, is I don't think Sony is as bad off overall. They definitely took one to the chin with this acquisition, but I don't think it's necessarily like Sony's gone in X number of years. But things aren't doing real well for them overall either, is because they've been so reactionary.
Mm-hmm.
With that, their own Game Pass alternative, everything like that. Take a year, this year, reflect. How can you make yourself competitive and comparable to what's out there? Because it's almost like they're trying to play Nintendo's game of, we're not involved in this anymore because we don't so closely align to Microsoft. You can't be the same exact thing. You can't be like a different flavor ice cream and say, I'm not ice cream anymore.
Yeah.
That's Nintendo has been doing that for years, and they've slowly gotten to the point to where they have differentiated themselves enough. They are different enough. When people think of games coming out anymore, 90% of the time it's Xbox or PlayStation. Nintendo's not even a part of the conversation. And I almost wonder if we're kind of slowly treading into the next do don't by even bringing up Nintendo at this point. But
I've got some do don'ts for them.
I think overall, Sony needs to take this year to collect and reformulate their identity, but reformulate their identity that is a comparable spin on what's already been established over at Microsoft.
I'm going to double down on that. I don't think Sony's around in 10 years if they continue the way they are, at least not in the video games market. Do I think that they're about to close the doors right now? Obviously, I wouldn't have said 10 years. But they're like the boxer that's out of shape, that won some titles, that's refusing to train because they just think they can beat anybody without really looking at what's coming at them. They have a willful ignorance that has put them in a position to be destroyed if they do not change their point of view. If they continue down this path, not make any serious change. If they continue down this path, I don't think they're around. I don't think they're in the games market in 10 years. That being said, I do think that there is something to be said about what you said about games as service. I think that, first of all, I love the idea of games as service. I like playing online with my friends. Some of my favorite games are games as service. Here's the thing, though. You can't just make a games as service game, and I think it might have been one of my odds and ends, but, you know, as evident for the Kill the Justice League game coming out.
No.
Everybody looked at that game with previews. IGN blasted it in a preview. When was the last time IGN blasted a game in a preview? They blasted it in a preview. It is 8 minutes of IGN. Granted, as politely. Yeah, granted, as
tearing.
As politely as they can, tearing them a new asshole. That's what I'm talking about. You can't just be like, well, this is a games as a service now. You have to think of a game as, like, what it is. And then, does that work with a lot of people? You know? The best games of service are games that are, like, designed for that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Not like, we're just going to shoehorn this shit in. And that's something that does bother me about Sony. They're like, oh, do you love us now if we do this? Will we make money now if we do this? You like portables? Here's this bullshit-ass handheld that no one wants. Like, they don't put any thought into things. They just knee-jerk react to things. And they just try and shoehorn things. And that's just not how you make good games. And it's not how you make good consumers. Like, it's just not. The people who are truly into PlayStation right now are fanboys. And, again, I don't want Sony to lose. I don't want Sony to be gone in 10 years. I want to make that very clear. Because the minute we lose other companies, we lose choice. You know, that's what we lose. And when we lose choice, the companies then can do anything they want to us. I don't want them gone, but they need to start looking at things like, oh, this is what we have to do, you know? Yeah. Wait, was that just our do's or was that our do's and don'ts? I think that was our do's.
I think that was just the do.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. My God. I don't even know where to go with the don't. I feel like I've... Well, don't make a bunch of games as service games. Can we just agree on that and move on?
Yeah.
Like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't pivot. Stop knee-jerk reaction to shit, you know? Think about what you want to do in the space and do that. You still have money. There's going to be a point in time when they... My fear with them is that they're going to realize that this is what they should have been doing when it's already too late and they don't have the money and the power and the sway to do what they want anymore, you know?
Yeah. You know what? And my don't is going to be pretty relatively straightforward too. Sure. While we don't know of anything else that's in the pipeline, but don't just put out another fucking nutbag amount of crazy accessories and stuff, mm-hmm. like we kind of alluded to.
Yeah.
PSVR 2. They last year they put out the PSVR 2. PSVR did not even sell like crazy. Mm-mm. They're still trying to ride a wave that's been long gone. Like it's just a little wave lapping up on the shore at this mm-hmm. point. It's not like it was before when people are building entire rigs, devoting entire rooms to it. We've hit the limit on it because it had its potential earlier on, and they haven't found a way to do anything other than these just like bite-sized experiences right. that give you motion sickness.
Well, there has been a couple of big app killers. I'll give it that Asgard's Wrath was a beast. I still can't play it because of the motion sickness, but from what I hear, it is a truly like a 60-hour epic. But overall, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we got that, you know, the PlayStation Portal. Like you'd mentioned, like the dumbest thing that they didn't even think the whole thing through. Same goes with those PlayStation earbuds that are like proprietary,
mm-hmm.
whatever. Like now, I guess the PlayStation earbuds do have some standard Bluetooth functionality now that's changed a little bit from when they were initially announced, but even still, like, it's nothing. The PlayStation Portal is the thing that throws me all the way off. Like,
oh, all the way.
You can't even put there's no soft, like, no actual operating system. Mm-mm. It's just proprietary software that links up to the point that you can't even accept terms of service to connect on to public Wi-Fi. So, like, you're eliminating so much stuff. You can't even try to sell it, like, with a data plan like mm-hmm. you can the Razer Edge.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. Like, they're
it's
just
absolutely
dumping,
out of touch.
They're just dumping stuff out there. It's like, hey, here's a thing that's almost like that other thing that you like, but, you know, Sony'd up.
right. Absolutely super out of touch, every move they've made. So do you want to hit Nintendo then next?
Yeah, may as well.
Do you want to go first with your two? I've gone first on all the other ones.
Yeah, well, no, you can go ahead because as we kind of alluded to, there was a little bit of miscommunication.
Okay.
So I came at this an entirely different way, so I have to take him talking to figure out one.
It's okay. You had just sounded from the last one that you had ideas of what you wanted to do, so that's why I was
checking in.
Nintendo. Do bring back Metroid, man. Bring back
Please.
Metroid.
Please.
I know that this would have been Niels, but stop teasing us with Metroid. And I think the biggest thing that Nintendo needs to do in 2024 is listen to its fans more. I think it has the capability of making great games. We've seen that, even if they're a little bit more on the kid-friendly side. It has the capability of making that. But one of the biggest problems is they are doing their own thing and not listening to what people want. People have wanted Metroid. So much so that when you did release a Metroid game, it became one of your best-selling games. How does that not tell you that we need more Metroid in circulation? I think that there is a lot of space for that. I also would like to say, just a little thing to it. Also, do make some new IPs. Maybe just a couple. just a couple. And by new IPs, I mean no more remixes or remakes. Please. You've got enough. We don't need Donkey Kong versus Mario remake. Like, stop, like, scraping the bottom of the barrel to put out content that already came out before. Don't get me wrong, plenty of them were good, but, like, the biggest Switch releases lately, how many of them have been remasters from previous systems or remakes? Yeah.
And still coming.
Yeah, so please, stop. We have enough. We need some new games, all right? Even if it's part of the old IPs, we need new game material.
You know, I'm actually going to focus a bit more on the listen to your fans part, because yeah. it's almost like they're sitting there like with their ears plugged, but trying to read lips.
Yeah.
Whenever like they make stuff.
Yeah.
People for so long. Oh my God, we need a new Paper Mario game. You know what, guys? We got you. Paper Mario and the Origami King. Okay, well, it's going to be all turn-based and everything, right?
Like the original.
You know, like the original, and like, you know, we've been screaming for the past three to four Paper Mario games that come out. No. You're going to stand on these weird dials, and you're going to make dials spin in ways to make attacks happen. It's so innovative. I'm like, that's cool, but like...
Nobody wants
this. Turn-based Mario, which is why things like the Thousand Year Door remake that are coming out are just so massively monumental to where people are like, please, please, please give us more of this. We've been screaming for a new F-Zero for a long time. And what do? They put Mute City in Mario Kart.
Well, and they also gave you F99.
They gave us the Battle Royale Super Nintendo thing, though. Like, I don't know. It's not. I said it about it whenever that came out, too. It's not what we want.
It's like what you want adjacent.
It's what you want adjacent. It's like going to get a burger and telling them, please, no mayonnaise on the burger. And they give you the just most beautiful looking burger ever. But you take the top off and it's just slathered with mayonnaise. It's just like you had one job. And I feel like Nintendo is one of the only companies that can sell purely on nostalgia, because they basically do it anyways. Mm-hmm. And they very well could put a poll out every single year, say, hey, we're going to make a game that's going to come out in 3 years. What do you want that game to be?
Yeah, and then just make that game.
Just make that game.
And they'll just
money. Amen. They just print infinite money, and they refuse to do that because they just want to do their own thing. And it's weird that we're knocking on a company for doing that. Because we always piss and moan about all the other companies conforming to norms.
Yeah.
But then we have the one out there that has the ability and potential to do that. Mm-hmm. And they just don't.
They don't. I agree. They have the most powerful nostalgia machine in gaming. And what's crazy is they get away with it with games that are like you said, the game you wanted adjacent, just based on the fact that it's... F-Zero fans have been so clamoring for F-Zero that they will just take the Battle Royale. They don't care. They want it. So they're going to make money off that. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to just take that thing adjacent. That's how powerful your machine is. Why are you not utilizing it to the fullest of your experience, you know? And I'm actually going to just go right into my don't, which is don't... And many people are going to say, it's because I want to win my crazy prediction, one of my predictions. I get it. But I don't think they should release. There is a rumor right now saying that the next Switch is coming out, and it is coming out in September. I cannot think of, A, worse time to release a system, B, for them, B, and if you read the analyst breakdown, the analyst like went into what this next Switch will be. It's a mid-season refresh. but it's going to have new games. They've basically straight up said what it is. It's basically going to be the same price, a little bit higher, a little bit better graphics, a little bit better processing computing. You know, that's what it's going to be. It's just another Switch. It's like the Switch OLD, just another version of that. But they're going to, whatever it is, that's what it's going to be. Don't do that. You don't need that. You don't need that out there. What it's going to do is it's also going to cause serious confusion with your fan base. Because, again, your fan base, the really diehard fans are like, we can't wait to see what the next new powerful Switch is able to do. You know? Those people are going to be upset because it's just going to be another Switch. And then you've got the other people who weren't going to buy it anyway because they just wanted to buy a game to go bowling with their grandkids. I think that, like, it's just a terrible move to release a system based on basically peer pressure, and I feel like that's what they're doing. The other thing is, too, if you can't release a system that can start to produce with the games that are coming out, because one of the biggest things the Switch did was they took a lot of third-party classics and they made them playable on the Switch. So you had a portable version of games like Witcher 3 and Skyrim and stuff like that. Those games have run out. The games that are coming out now, they're too big for that shit. So unless you can do that like Steam Deck can, you need to get the fuck out of there, you know? So I think it's a huge mistake to release the next Switch console. I think it's a huge mistake to release it in September. I think it's just a bad idea.
So I think this one is going to be the one that we're going to be the farthest apart on.
Okay, that's fine.
And my don't is going to be, don't fuck up the launch of this new Switch hardware.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is, It almost sounds like the signs are pointing to another Wii U fiasco, mm-hmm. kind of like you were alluding to, as people mm-hmm. are going to get confused as to what's what. In fact, that we were talking, I can't believe I've talked about the Wii U so much in the past month, crazy enough. Over at work, we had a brief conversation here in the house earlier about it, and then just now I'm bringing it up again. Mm-hmm. The Wii U was marketed, when it was presented, it was presented like a Wii hardware refresh, mm-hmm. not a new console, because you can use your Wii controllers on it and it'll mm-hmm. play all your Wii games. We were just talking about Wii games, and you can play on your games on this pad as long as you keep it near, you know, the base of the base console. So it didn't tell anyone that it's like a new generation
right.
of the right. console. We've already had our hardware refresh in the Switch with the Switch OLED. Mm-hmm. It brought the tiniest improvements.
Yeah.
That there, though, is not a true next gen. They need to, if they do end up putting this new Switch out this year,
mm-hmm.
they do need to have it be something that's at least relatively comparable to a yeah. Steam Deck. I mean, we've been talking, you know, in the rumors about it, that they're shooting somewhere around a $400 price point. When the initial Switch came out, it was $300.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a $400 price point for newer tech that is relatively comparable to a Steam Deck, I think is feasible and possible. But I also know Nintendo's going to Nintendo it up. Yeah. They're going to add some weird, quirky thing to where it only runs at a certain resolution on Tuesdays or something. Like it's par for the course for Nintendo. But they cannot fuck this up, because I remember when the Switch came out and the Wii U was such a god awful atrocity.
Mm-hmm.
I swore, like, I was like, I'm not touching that fucking thing, because I don't know what it's going to do in the end, because the last thing they put out was a joke. So much so, they cut the legs out from under their console generation mm-hmm. with that. It only lasted, what was it, 4 years maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, normally Nintendo runs their consoles for about 7-ish, which the Switch is definitely coming up on that. So, I mean, it's it's up there in age and it's been showing its limits a lot. But at the same time, like, it's done so much work to turn the ship around from the Wii U. I don't want the Switch 2 to just be, hey, Switch, but better graphics.
Yeah. So I don't know when we were talking last. It was a while ago when we were talking about the potential, when we first started talking about the Switch 2 on the horizon. And I said, I'm very nervous that it's going to be a Wii U situation because of the fact that, like, that's what they do. They come up with this really cool gimmick, and then they don't know what to do with it after that, and they fuck up the next thing. So I'm really afraid, because they put themselves in the same position they did. First of all, there is an argument to be made that the Switch is a Wii U hardware refresh. I mean,
I can see it.
Like, it works almost the same way. You just don't need a Wii. Like, the difference is they did it the right way. They released it way later, so it was kind of separated from the Wii U. They released it with its own name. They released it with its own set of games that showcased what it did instead of connecting it to a past console and muddying the waters.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the Wii U could... I think the Wii U could have been a success. I think they just did it wrong, you know? And I think that they did it right when they did the Switch. My big problem here is, can they do this one right? Can they get this separation, like you said? Are they able to do that? And I don't know that they are, really. They have put themselves in an absolutely terrible spot, because they brought the Switch out, it was a good console, and it survived on two things. Its nostalgia, Nintendo always has that, and then its ability to take classic games, port them over to a portable system like that never been done before, and they would play decent on there. So you could do that with those games. The games that are coming out now will not run on hardware like the Switch. But Valve has already made the Steam Deck. You also have things like the ROG Ally, that other one that I can't remember what it's called. It's like Nextware or something.
No, Ally, that other thing.
There's two of them. Like it. There's two of them out now, but the ROG Ally just
Lenovo has Lenovo. One.
The ROG Ally just dropped prices. The ROG dropped price. It's comparable to a Steam Deck now in its cheapest version. So now you have PC level portables that are playing PC games for $100 more than your base system. You're about to raise the price and do it too. It better at least compete with those motherfuckers. And they have just put themselves in this situation where, once again, they're going to try and fall back on their nostalgia, and that's just not enough to take them through. You know what I mean? It's enough to keep them afloat for a little while. It's not enough to take them through a generation, you know? Even with the Wii itself relied on those nostalgia plays. And I would say that the Wii was very successful, but it was successful for its gimmick. It wasn't successful like Switch was, which was a complete system experience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know that we're that far apart on that, honestly, to be honest. I don't think they should do it because they're going to fuck it up. You're afraid they're going to fuck it up, and you're asking them not to. I don't think we're that far apart. I think if they release it, it has to be its own thing. And I don't think it's going to be its own thing, because we have too many games coming out right now for the Switch. You know what I mean? For it to be its own thing.
It's actually funny. I'll burn one of my odds here that we have.
That's sure, because we're already going late. So
yeah. There's actually been tons of stories out lately that they're not printing Switch games anymore.
Really?
There's been a lot of games that are not getting printed anymore.
Interesting.
So that a lot of that turns like kind of is evidence of they're going to be announcing the new console because they're going to be depleting the stock of the games that they already have.
I think that's a mistake. I just really think it is. Not even the new console, just like people love their Switches still, you know? You still got games coming out for them. Like, what are you doing? I don't know. All right. So, There's only one company left. That is Valve.
There is.
Do's and don'ts. Do you want me to start that one again, or do you want to start? Do you want me to start it again? I don't mind.
No, go ahead and start.
All right, do's. Again, this is not to win my prediction. I want to say that. But we need a Steam Pass, man. We need a viable competitor to Game Pass. Xbox is dominating the game universe with money. Not with quality, with money. And that sucks. And it is only going to get worse. One thing I said, you know, on one of our shows, I think it was either our wrap-up or our IGN score show. I can't remember exactly which, but I said, I hope 2023 was a great year. I hope everybody enjoyed it because it's only downhill from here. And it is. Because all these games that have come out, now Xbox owns everything. So the shit's going to start slowing down. The Game Pass price is going to start climbing up because they're the only ones with that service. Like, we're going to start seeing the negative effects now. And somebody has to do something. Part of me thinks that Valve doesn't want to do a Steam Pass, specifically because they don't want to, like, enrage the spending monster that is Microsoft. But, like, absolutely, with your library, your resources, and now an actual console that you could use it on, if there are not people at Valve right now talking about launching a fucking Steam Pass, they are insane. It is the only, I maintain this, it is the only ecosystem out there in gaming, independent from Xbox, that would have a chance with resources of having something to rival the Game Pass itself. Sony tried and failed. Let's face it, it's a failure. It sucks. It's nowhere near as good as Game Pass. Steam, you're the only ones. You're the chosen ones. Let's get a Steam Pass out there. That's my dude.
You know what? I, of course, echo what you're saying there, because we've been in agreement with that they need some sort of Steam Pass. But to be able to have some sort of Steam Pass, I feel like they have to do something that they really need to do. And my due for 2024 for Steam is they have to do something about the trash games on Steam. The asset flips, the games that are like not even actual games. Nintendo's got an issue with them too, to where, you know, you have a game that's a regular price, it's like $60, so to say, but they put it on sale for like 99% off and you can buy it for a penny. Like, you know, all those junk trash games that have nothing to do with anything. I feel like there's stuff that's on Steam now that nobody touches, relatively speaking, just because it's not great quality overall. We already have this issue with, you know, AAA games coming out and not necessarily being great or being promised in a different condition, you know, anything like that. I feel like Steam needs to implement a little bit more of a control on the games that are, you know, available for sale. Even if it's something to where, like, I'm completely unfamiliar with the process. So, I mean, I may be just talking out of my ass. But I feel like they should have some sort of, like, month-long approval process to where you submit to have a digital storefront on Steam, so that way, like, this is me, I am the developer. You should have like a developer ranking based off of, you know, your overall aggregate average of scores, so that way somebody who's looking to discover something can take a look and see, hey, this developer's average score is this much, you know. They're an okay developer, or they just put out trash. You know, they have to really kind of be held to some sort of standard to where, like, somebody at Valve just does some quality control to some degree. Because I think that's one of the few things that Steam really has that holds it back to some degree. Doesn't necessarily hold it back, but the one blemish on Steam is the fact that it is just full of junk, trash, copycat games.
Okay. This is going to be a tough one. I think this is actually possibly where we're going to be the farthest away. I'm going to tail it right into my don't, though. So my don't is leave customer service the same way that it has always been. So, look, I am not disagreeing that there are plenty of hoaxes, cons, and other bullshit on Steam. However, I do subscribe to the fact that I like Wild Wests. I like places like Last Free Bastions where, like, you can go and put any fucking thing on there, you know, and anybody can go look for it. Look, I'm going to be gross for a second. There's porn games on there. I love that there's porn games on there. There's tons of porn games on Steam. You can get porn games, you can get normal games, you can get trash games, independent games, everything. What the problem for me is, though, is not necessarily quality control. Because when you put quality control in, you end up putting somebody in charge of something that's subjective. So you have a person who's looking at something, and even if it is the worst piece of shit ever, somebody else might be like, this is great. I mean, let's face it. You watch Game Grumps, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're aware of Tungulus, right? The game they played?
No.
Oh, you don't remember Tungulus? That was years
Game
ago.
Game Grumps in a long time.
Tungulus was years ago. Tungulus was years ago. That's why I thought you knew it. It is a shit game. An absolute shit game. They got heavy entertainment from that shit game. They may have never gotten to have heavy entertainment from that shit game. And vis-a-vis us watching entertainment of that shit game, if quality control had been there for a month going, this is not good enough to be on Steam. However, here's where my problem comes in. You have a two-hour refund policy that is unbreakable code. Not only is it 2 hours, but it's a 30-day refund policy. There is no subjective for that. There is no changes for that. So much so that right now, Steam, many people don't know this, but Steam is being sued. It's a class action lawsuit against them right now. I know this. I think everybody can figure out why I know this. But they are being sued for class action stuff because of their refund policy, because of their return policy, because of practices of this nature. With that being said, we need to start looking at your quality control and how you can change that. If you want to put everything up there, fine. We need good. I actually think it's great. But you need to be able to say, okay, this game isn't good. They want a refund. Here's the refund. You need to give us more than 2 hours. Or the timing needs to be subjective based on the amount that it takes to complete the game. We need more than 30 days to potentially play it or not. We need a higher customer. We need exceptions made for certain issues or bugs. Hell, look, I love Baldur's Gate 3. I think it's one of the best games ever made. Its third act is buggy as fuck. When I got to it, I had to reload the main battle at the end 3 different times so that I could see my characters. Just because I'm okay with that doesn't mean somebody else isn't okay with that. And that's not until the third act. That's fucking 70 hours into that game. Like, hell, half the games that come out now are front heavy and shit on the back end. There needs to be new policies put in place at Steam to allow for people to exchange games, return games, get store credit, get credit back. There needs to be a better process for this than there is, because right now it is basically, if you played that game for 2 straight hours, not even 2 straight hours, if you played that game for 2 hours total, or that game has been in your library for 30 days, fuck you, get out of here. Period. That's it. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, that is fair. The nuanced conversation too about bad games, that's definitely one thing I'll agree with, because I mean, I've been on record saying that Sonic 06 is one of the best games I've ever played, strictly because it is straight up trash.
Look,
garbage.
You are a guy who has said to me you miss playing Redfall.
Yeah.
I mean, if we put quality control in, Redfall ain't making it through. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's fair, but I think even that is something different. Like, I don't know. Like, it's hard to put the to put the fine point on what it is exactly that I'm trying to convey.
I see what you're saying.
So I think it's more so like if somebody tried,
yeah,
is one thing. Like, if somebody tried and it's not good. You know, it's effort being put forth. The ones that really get me are the it's just store bought assets that are slapped in for something else. I had once long ago a relative got me a disc that had, it was like 1,000 games on it or something crazy. Had tons and tons and tons of different games, but like 50 of them were like Bubble Breaker.
Yeah.
50 of them were just Bubble Breaker with different shapes. You know, there were some of them that are unplayable. There's, you know, inevitable like Mario clone ripoffs, mm-hmm, that don't do anything different. Like, that's the sort of stuff that,
and that I get,
I
that
really think should be.
I totally get that. But like, one of my favorite games to play with my daughter is a knockoff. It's a knockoff of Fall Guys. It's called Stumble Guys. It's literally called Stumble Guys. It's the same fucking game. if there was a don't make a knockoff clause in the quality control, that game wouldn't exist. And I'm going to say this, hot take, I think it's better than Fall Guys. I think I've said that on the podcast. I'm not sure. But I think it's actually better than Fall Guys. So, like, it's tricky. It's nuanced. I see where you're coming from. I'm not trying to insult your point of view. I'm just saying that, like, I like the flood of, I like the idea, the digital idea of going to the junkyard to see what I can find. You know what I mean? And if you have quality control, you don't get a junkyard. You get fucking Walmart. And Walmart is the most depressing place on the face of this fucking planet to spend more than 20 minutes in. Like, So, I don't want to go to Walmart. I want to go to that junkyard. I want to dig through heaps of shit. Porn games and knockoff games and shit games and weird games and all sorts of games to find those weird little gems. And you just don't get that with some of what you were alluding to. That being said, I think we're of the same mind on the fact that something has to change with something to the point where, like, there's a lot of stuff out there like Day After or whatever it was called, where like Day After Tomorrow, where like it's a con. It's a straight up con. It was put there to take our money. They took our money, then they closed down. Like, how could you let this happen, you know?
Yeah. I think just to put a cap on it for my don't with Steam, I think that Steam is doing this thing to where it's, I feel like it's almost limiting itself. Mm. And my don't is to don't limit yourself. Like, we have the Steam Deck. We now actually have a hardware revision of the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
So they've successfully counted to two. Enjoy the second Steam Deck, because you're never going to get a third one, because you know Valve. but... You know,
but I'm they,
yeah. Where's the soundboard? Where's the soundboard? I haven't done anything with the soundboard at all. Where is it? Here it is.
There it is. There's the winner.
but seriously, Valve does seem to, I feel like it kind of sequesters itself with Steam, mm-hmm, and with something that is so open by its nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with compatibility with different computers, devices, they now have, I mean, they've got streaming, which kind of sometimes works. Not so much for me because my internet sucks, but you know, but
it works pretty good for me, honestly, on my phone. Yeah. Like, once I get a controller for my phone, it'll work really good.
My network out here just blows. Spectrum sucks, but that's a whole separate thing. But I feel like they've spawned their own sort of knockoffs to some degree, you know, with your ROG allies and everything like that. But what they really need to do, I feel like, is to play that game of partnerships with streaming. And I feel like one that's so natural would be them developing a Steam streaming app for consoles, like for Microsoft, for Xbox. That would be massive.
Yeah, it would be.
Absolutely, like, killer massive.
It would be.
Especially if you can stream over your own network by partnering with Microsoft to make your own dedicated, like, stream app that basically turns your Xbox into a Steam machine.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. And I feel like that's something that they've wanted to do or would be a natural progression, but they just won't. And I don't know if it's a matter of them focusing their priorities elsewhere with the portable device manufacturer, or if they want to try to stay independent and really truly believe themselves to be a platform like Microsoft PlayStation.
Well, and hey, maybe there's people in a room talking about that right now, and that's not why we're not getting Steam Pass.
Right.
You know, I would love to see the Steam Deck become even more of a console, get more like the dock and get more controller support for, like, so that you could buy a Steam Deck and play it on your TV. You know, that'd be great. I think that'd be great. All right. That's it, right? We're all done.
Yeah.
Odds and ends coming your way, guys, in just a couple of seconds.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our final segment, the news. This is where we collect other headlines that don't necessarily get a talking point. We want to riff on them. We want to tell you guys about them. We want to tell each other about them. We do it here. Neil has five. I have three. Neil, start us off.
All right. So let's actually just hit on the one of the ones that we've kind of already talked about a little bit. Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League has had its first impressions come out, and they are not good.
Oh man.
They are not good. They are very bad. It's just been ripped apart effectively on none of this makes sense. It's looter shooter swill. I mean, they basically have said that Rocksteady has taken the past year to remove like gear scores and everything like that to really try to move away from the live service aspect of everything. It's so bad that apparently they're partially lifting the NDA that people were under for the first impressions videos. Because, I mean, good on them for this, at least. They feel like people should at least be somewhat informed as to what this game is going to be like ahead of time. Basically, they aren't allowed to, like, share custom captured video footage, which probably means that it's buggy as all shit. But everybody's basically allowed to share their impressions of what they played, and everybody has chosen to do so, and it's not been good.
Yeah.
Where does Rocksteady go from here with this? Because we had Gotham Knights come out. Gotham Knights fell flat on its face. It was supposed to be that return to form with the Arkham games, and now we have this, which is even worse by all accounts.
Well, in a lot of ways, the Gotham Knights was leading to this. It was already the start of the, like, co-op level-based bullshit that this was. What I find interesting is you have the Gotham Arkham trilogy. The sales have all of a sudden doubled again. because everybody just saw that and was like, I'd rather just play this. Let me ask you this. If you could play a superhero game, right, where you could get a server that was dedicated to you and, like, a few other friends, right? And it was an interactive city, and you got to make your own superhero and then interact with that city, like, go on patrols and stuff. And your leveling wasn't on some sort of arbitrary collectible loot box, whatever. But it was still a games as service. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be amazing? Like, This is the thing we were talking about. I know you're not a games as service guy, but there are ways that a games as service could be presented to even you that would sound appealing. this tried and true kind of look at, not true, this way of looking at games as service since Destiny did it, what bothers me is Destiny did a certain thing that worked for Destiny. Now everybody's like, that's what a games of service is. You take the characters and then you add loot to them and then you collect, you know, stuff and you add more loot and it's all about gear score. That does not have to be what a games of service is. A games of service is just online and constantly getting content. Like, and you kind of make your story yourself. Why do we have to do, like, why is this suddenly tied to this genre? You know, you had it with Marvel's Avengers, this, Anthem, as much as I loved Anthem, Anthem had it, loot score and gear score, Division. Why can't we make a games of service, but a games of service that is, I don't even mind that you're making a superhero games of service. Why can't you make that its own unique thing? You know, the problem is they're just manufacturing this shit and shoving it down our throats. Like, this is what you want, right? No, we like Destiny. We played Destiny. Destiny is Destiny. Stop trying to make Suicide Squad Destiny. Stop trying to make other things Destiny. Make them their thing, you know?
A perfect example of that, while, you know, it was not a game that I played a whole heck of a lot, it was a live service game that kind of had me for a little bit. I think I at least put 20 hours into it or something along those lines. Fallout 76.
Okay.
Fallout 76 was one. It was Fallout. Granted, they didn't have any people whenever I was playing it at that point, no NPCs, but you know, that's a whole separate side thing. But it was Fallout. That was a live service. You could have this shared world that you know, did stuff, you know, you might run into people, you might not, you never know. And it was always a roll of the dice as to whether or not the people you would run into were going to be nice and just pass by, or if they were going to try to attack you and you were going to get, you know, stuck in a firefight,
right,
to be able to fight for survival. But it still had all of those same elements of Fallout, you know, roving through random dungeons and, you know, abandoned buildings and stuff like that to find stuff, getting better weapons and everything like that. Like, right. it did live service its own way.
Well, in Fallout 76, its problems at launch were not necessarily that it was Destiny-like. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I agree with that assessment. It definitely had issues, which we commented on in great number. I don't necessarily think it was a good game, but to your point here, Fallout 76 maintains its relevancy. Even though it had an abysmal launch and was terrible at the time, it's still getting expansions and seasons and still has enough player base to warrant that. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. And totally with you on that. Like, do the thing the way it needs to be done, not the way that other things have done their things, you know?
Yeah.
All right, should I go with my first one now?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with my first one. This is one I'm very excited about, though I don't know what this is going to bring. Might be a disaster, might not be. Pal World is coming to Game Pass on January 19th. So if you're listening to this, I believe it's this Thursday or Friday. And yeah, it's coming for free. Personally, I think they're going to surprise drop it the day early with the developer direct. Just want to point that out. I think that's going to be there. Oh, that's out now, not actually tomorrow. But yeah, Pal World. What is Pal World, you ask? Pal World is Pokemon with guns. It's got survival and automation in it. A lot of automation and survival stuff. So like, you have to eat and you have to drink. But your character itself gets involved. They actually have guns. They can kill pals to eat them. You can, which are pals or Pokemon. You can also shoot them to weaken them, to put them in a ball, to collect them. You can then set up pals to run your gun factories or farm for you or build for you. It just looks really interesting to me. I'm not a huge survival guy person and I'm not a huge automation guy person, but there's just so much in this game that looks interesting that I've got to play it. I've just got to play it. I've got to see what it's like. It looks really cool. Game Pass, January 19th, and it could be a big win for them, honestly.
It's so bizarre, because I remember when this game was first like announced and the videos were making the rounds. If you did not know ahead of time, if they removed all images of guns and you saw this trailer, you would think full on it is an actual Pokemon game. The art style and everything is identical.
All of the trailers, all of the trailers on PAL World's actual YouTube site say in them the legally distinct monster collecting game.
Jeez.
Like, they're basically saying Pokemon can't sue us.
I mean, for shit's sake, the most recent trailer that you had shared in our little group chat, when I watched that, it, like, they don't have Pokeballs. They have these, like, crystal balls that just so happen to look identical.
Identical.
Like, identical. Everything is identical. Yeah. It's insane.
You just also shoot them and eat them. And I'm like, okay, I'm in, I'm down. The fully destructible buildings looked really cool, too, from the trailers. I thought that was cool, like almost like a Crackdown thing. Yeah, this game looks really fun. Maybe, depending on how good it is, it might be the next Lasso 3 stream game. I think that would be really exciting. Yeah, depends on if we all like it or not. All right, you go.
Alrighty, so still kind of hammering things that we kind of briefly mentioned. There's lots of rumors floating around that Sea of Thieves and other exclusives like Hi-Fi Rush are coming to PlayStation and Nintendo Switch. I think this would be a very interesting move, as we alluded to earlier, as Microsoft's been having a hard time getting anything first party out. So then, you know, some of the first party stuff they do have, they're pawning off on other consoles. I mean, granted, they aren't, you know, console sellers, but I don't know. I think it'd be a weird move.
When I was a kid, my parents were showing me how to correctly spank a dog. Okay? And basically, they would say, you have to spank the dog when it's bad, put your nose in it, then let it walk away, then call it to him, and pet it a lot so that it knows you still love them. I do not believe in spanking my dog. Just want everybody to know that. But that's what I feel like Xbox has done. They have spanked Sony, and now they're petting him to let him know they still love him. They spanked him, and now they're going to give him, oh, you want Sea of Thieves? Come on, we're still friends, right? Right? Now that it's over, you want Game Pass? You want Game Pass? This is always what it wants to be. They want to make them their dogs, basically. And that's where we're going with that.
it's bizarre to me, honestly. I mean, I'll be curious to see in the end what ends up happening.
Oh, yeah. All right, so my next one. Yeah. This is for your COD people. And this is super fucking weird. So do you remember I did a newsy bit where they had this mode called DMZ, and then they were shutting it down even though it was popular?
Yeah.
Okay, so what DMZ is, or was a version of kind of an extraction shooter. You're not a games of service guy. Do you know what that is?
Extraction shooter. It's basically do as much as you can or go as far as you can without dying. The object is to get as far as you can or do as much without conking out.
It's fucking Escape from Tarkov is what made it popular. So that's what DMZ was, basically. So they're like, we're not doing DMZ, even though it's popular. And everybody's like, well, that sucks. So they've recently announced that Call of Duty will have this thing called a covert exfiltration. Covert exfiltration meaning you have to collect a certain thing, and then you can leave the map early with the money you've collected. So everybody immediately got on Twitter and were like, isn't this just DMZ? And also, is it still a battle royale if you can leave early? Because not only did they say you can leave early with your money, but you'll be rated on how well you do your exfiltration and stuff. So it's a completely different rating board than just winning the battle royale in itself. They're like, why are you doing this? This is just what DMZ was. They have recently said that they're putting off this edition to Call of Duty, but that it will be coming at some point in the future. What are you doing, COD? What are you doing?
I've always thought that sort of stuff is interesting. Or, like, getting rid of a game mode in a multiplayer shooter and then bringing it back but calling it something completely right. different right. and, you know, thinking that we aren't going to notice.
Right. It's like, almost like they tested this with DMZ, and then they were like, we'll add that to the normal Battle Royale because too many people are playing the DMZ version, you know? Yeah. It's like, what is the point of this? And all it does is dilute. It dilutes the purity of your Battle Royale, you know? It makes it this weird hybrid where, like, half the players are there just to play the DMZ mode and half the players are there to play the Battle Royale mode. And that's going to make things really confusing and fucked up. How do you do esports with that? You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Yeah. Next one I got here, really quick one. The PC version of Horizon Forbidden West has been announced.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's going to have the DLC and everything with it.
Still need to very interesting. The first one.
I was going to say, yeah, so someday, one day, you can go ahead, finish the first one, and then play this one, and take part in the same story suffering that I had to.
I was about to say, with what you told me of this one, I don't know that I will ever make that jump.
It's like looking back on it now, like, you know, being a year plus removed from me finishing that game, I can definitely say, like, I didn't hate it, but the story, wow, man, are they really reaching for it? Like, I don't
know.
Too much.
Too much.
It's a little too much.
All right. My final one is, I urge anybody to go out and check this out. Tekken 8 is coming out. They have recently gotten Brian Cox. You'll know him. He is an actor who has been in many things. And he is a very serious actor. He's usually like a bad guy in whatever you watched. He has an 8-minute video where he recaps the entirety of the story of Tekken. And it is amazing. It is well worth the watch. It's just him just like in his British angry accent. Just like, why do these fathers and sons keep throwing each other off cliffs? Like, it's it's hysterical. It's also hysterical to watch him pronounce all of those fucking names and somehow do okay with it. But it's definitely worth a watch. Even if you're not a Tekken fan, just watching this guy who very clearly has never played a video game in his entire life just recount one of the nerdiest stories in video games ever, you know?
Yeah, I saw that trailer exists.
Oh, you need to watch it.
Wanted to watch it. You know, it's too bad because, you know, I got into Street Fighter and everything, and I thought that I'd be able to get into Tekken as well after I got into Street Fighter.
Love Tekken.
It was Tekken 6, I think I bought, regrettably.
I love Tekken. I own all the Tekkens up to 5, I think. I actually got drunk one night when Amazon was in its infancy, and I just decided I needed to own them all. So I bought them all, and it was a giant mistake because I didn't look at where they were coming from, so I paid shipping like 14 different times. This was before Amazon Prime even existed. Yeah. So I probably spent like $100 more than I needed to. It was rough. I got real drunk. But Tekken was one of my all-time favorite games, possibly one of my all-time favorite fighting games. I don't play it anymore. Just because fighting games are so hard to get into now. They all cost $70. You're going to play them for like, unless you're a hardcore player, you're going to play them for like 2 hours, you know? Like even Mortal Kombat with its story, the story's really cool, but you're going to be done with it in like 6 to 8 hours. And then what, you know?
Yeah.
Go online and have some 9-year-old with better reflexes beat the ever loving shit out of me for 14 hours. I can't do it. Can't do it.
So got two more here, just to round off here. So even though the shows were announced 2 years ago at this point, both the God of War and Horizon TV shows set to be done over at Netflix and Amazon are just now being written. Oh, dear sweet baby Jesus. You know what I think ended up happening is they bought those rights up and everything was, you know, back when I think that was back when like the Tomb Raider movie had come out and they were like, okay, all right, let's maybe get into this. But they weren't super serious about it and they were just sitting on the rights. And now that all of these adaptations in the last year or so have been coming out and have been amazing, now they're really putting the axe to the grindstone like trying to do something with them just in time for them to be, you know, no longer relevant in show format.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I definitely think there was something going on there. That's weird. And we're in a race now. Like there's been too many good video games / movies / shows, that now we're back in, it's like all over again with Iron Man. We're just going to see video game movie after video game movie after fucking video game show after video game movie. And it's going to be frustrating as fuck. Which is why I wish this day would never come.
Yeah. All right. And the last one that I have, always like to add, end on a weird one. Reddit user, Da Crazy Kid. love these names, by the way. I'm just like, somebody like put this out here intentionally knowing that someone would have to speak it verbally. This individual linked together 200 RGB PC fans and used them like a pseudo display to play games like Tetris and Doom. very impressive on that.
That is impressive.
I have.
And also very cooling.
Yeah, very cooling. Like, I have Corsair maglev fans in my PC that like flow between colors. So something like that, I guess you could technically script something out to make that work. But I don't know. That would be, it's wild. The amount of work that would go into that for the little payoff of, hey, internet, here's a thing I did, and have people talk about it for like a week and move on.
Yeah, it'd be very strange. It'd be very strange. Well, that is it. That's all of them, right?
That is all of them. All
right, let's do the plugs.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of the show. And that and the shameless self-promotion that comes with it.
Did you just freeze?
Yeah, I just had a mini stroke there. So, Neil, anything you want to plug?
We did do that that stream a couple weeks ago. But outside of that, I mean, there's not been a whole heck of a lot. We're still the machine is starting back up for new things.
Yes,
in
yes.
the new year.
Yes, the machine being me.
Well, not no.
See, and my churning thing. For all people.
Here's the thing: is you're the machine that produces everything, but you know, we all have to somehow find a way for it to all link together too. So it's only true. Half the battle.
This is true. This is true. So as far as us, we're rolling along good. We've got plenty of TTRPG stuff. We've got plenty of video game stuff on the channel. Melissa's 3-episode run of Prelude, of Prelude with Baldur's Gate 3 is about done. We might go back to it at some point. Highly entertaining to watch her interact with the characters from that game. Other than that, we got a kid show right now. Stella's Roblox Review every Saturday. It's our only made for kids programming. We got a ton of stuff. Just check out anything and everything to your heart's desires, everybody. Other than that, you can reach us on Facebook at OmegaMDH, on Twitter at OmegaMe9. You can join our Discord, links in the description below. Influence us and all of our shows from there. So as you guys keep watching and listening, we'll keep making them. We'll see you guys next time.